Blog Talk Radio.
Pac-Man dubstep. It was like, no, I don't think you'll be turning this down ever. Good morning, lovely people.
Good morning, Miss Corey. How are you? I'm sorry, here, how?
I.
If y'all have no idea what we're talking about, you missed yesterday's show and you've not been paying any attention to my Cinchcast, or to Facebook, or, yeah, anywhere.
Illuminati, beep!
Yes. Oh, my God, it was so much fun. All right, I will totally admit, the first 30 minutes of the game, if you sit through all the cutscenes, are going to last you, yeah, like I said, the first 30 minutes. It's just, you're going to be sitting there watching, finding out how your story begins. And seriously, when that slimy little dude comes busting up into your apartment and all threatening you that you will come meet who I work for or else, more or less, I wanted to take the blue fire and put my hands on either side of his head and just make it go smish.
Why I gotta be... Yeah.
Don't threaten me. Seriously, I've been having blue flames go through my body and you want to threaten me? Mm-mm.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got some news from RTX. just right now, it popped in my mailbox. I was like, hey, what?
Yeah.
I can't tell them about it on the air. They have to wait.
Oh, well then. then can I go? Because I've got some banned users already.
Go ahead. Tell them about it. Change.
All right, Diablo 3 Linux users banned by Blizzard for using wine.
Wine?
Yeah.
With cheese?
That would be tasty. According to numerous complaints in this Battle.net forum thread, Blizzard has permanently banned some users for trying to play Diablo 3 under Linux. According to one response in the thread, Blizzard told him that the reason his account was banned was because he used unapproved third-party software. Blizzard's description of unapproved third-party software says, a third-party program is any file or program that is used in addition to the game to gain an unfair advantage. These programs may increase movement speed or teleport heroes from one place to another beyond what is allowed by game design. It also includes any programs that obtain information from the game that is not normally available to the regular player or that transmits or modifies any of the game files. Later on in the thread, Blizzard community manager Bashiak offered the following explanation on the bans, noting that using Linux won't get you banned, but using Wine will. We've extensively tested for false positive situations, including replicating some steps for those who had posted claiming that they were banned unfairly. We've not found any situations that could produce a false positive. Have found that the circumstances for which they were banned were clear and accurate, and we are extremely confident in our findings. Playing the game on Linux, although not officially supported, will not get you banned. Cheating will. Apparently, I can't read this. All right, so basically, Linux is not supported, but that won't get players banned. But if you use it with a Windows emulator, Wine, then you are using unapproved third-party software. This does not make a lot of sense, because the only way to play the game via Linux is with Wine. So in other words, you Linux users, we're sorry, you're SOL.
We're sorry.
And that's just it, being penguin-loving people.
You forgot to say it this way. We're sorry. You have reached a game, and yours has been disconnected. Or is no longer in service. Do you feel you have reached this?
Blizzard is just shooting themselves in the foot with the game over and over and over. It's going to be the shortest-lived game you've ever put out there. Ever.
All right. So,
I don't have any friends left that are actually playing this.
You don't have no friends. You don't have no friends.
Did you have no friends? And you don't have no friends.
They were stung as small children by bees. Okay. I wanted to tell you about this yesterday, but I forgot all about it until just now before the show, so this is going to be a little rough, but there is a new company on the horizon. Yes, I think GameStop and even GameFly, you all better watch your backs. It's a new company. It looks like they're out of the UK, according to their web address, but I could be wrong. They could be a U.S. company, and since they're advertising here in the U.S., we're going to assume so. However, the name of the company is called Zumu.com. Why should I be interested in this? Well, they have come up with a very interesting way of letting you sell your old games and CDs. Those of you who have acquired them legally, I want to add. You've acquired it in a legal manner. You go there, you put in your barcode, and they will instantly tell you how much it's worth. Then they will send you the packaging. They will pay for the packaging so that you ship it to them, and then they send you a check. Easy, right? You don't even have to leave your house.
That does sound easy. I'd be afraid of stuff being lost in the mail, but hey.
Hey, I haven't gone through their whole policies and everything yet because I'm harassing them via email. But I do know they are partners with some really nice charities, and which I'm hoping some of our gamer ones will get involved with soon, like Child's Play. But their charities are Goodwill, Keep a Child Alive, the Michigan Pet Fund Alliance, and they're also with the Boys and Girls Club.
Those are awesome.
Yeah,
okay.
Very good charities. So go over and check them out. They do a lot of fundraising, too. And see what you can sell. Let's know if you get a good price for it. I haven't checked any of mine because I cannot bear to be parted with my games, but I was thinking I was going to put the barcode from this 5-Hour Energy in the site to see if they'll offer, how much they'll offer me for it. I paid $2.53. How much do you think I'll get for it, Ginger?
I'm going to go with a quarter.
I'm not selling it. I might as well drink it. All right. That was a short one, so here's my next one.
Okay.
You know, we've been complaining about the Apple Store and the App Store. Well, there's been some crackdown going on. Let me be specific because y'all saw my little tweet, my little joke. For some of the smaller developers who've just released an iOS app, of course, a position in the top of Apple's App Store rankings could mean the difference between $1 million Angry Birds or you eating top ramen for dinner. So it's no surprise a few of them try to cheat the system, and Apple is now trying to stop it. But the battle between Apple's police and the cheaters who employ automated bots or rankings, some innocent startups are finding themselves banned from the marketplace. Collateral damage, so to speak. A few of the cast-offs are raising their voices to complain about Apple's secretive policies. They are, one of them is quoted as saying, it's hard to tell who is doing this ethically and who isn't. Actually, this is from Apple. This is from one source that's familiar with it who wanted to remain anonymous. Said it's hard to believe the big guys aren't manipulating their ranks and that Apple is treating everybody fair here. At issue is the cottage industry of third-party marketing firms that promise to propel unknown apps from obscurity to the top of Apple's ranking charts. Sometimes their methods include brazen market manipulation using so-called bot farms, or software bots, or human water armies. Yes, there's a new term for you, water army. These are, of course, located in China, a practice that's incurred the wrath of Apple's policy cops in Cupertino, California. This February, Apple cracked down on a number of dubious marketing firms that use software bots and armies of human users to download apps, propelling the title to high-profile positioning within the App Store app's top free rankings chart. Apple banned at least one major developer, Animoca, which published apps from Dream Cortex, from putting apps on the App Store because it alleged rankings manipulation. It was also found that one app developer used the marketer Getna, who saw unusual behavior. Its app shot to the 25 and then dropped like a rock. and 70% of the downloads were never even opened. One can't blame Apple for trying to keep its Apple ranking store pure, but some legitimate marketing apps might be getting swept up in Apple's dragnet as the company attempts to remove software from those who would game the system. Similarly, some developers have pure intentions but have naively hired market manipulators. These developers are finding their apps blacklisted, and when they attempt to work with Apple on App Store reinstatement, their efforts are ignored. Apple, of course, has declined repeating them to talk anybody about this, anybody who's asking. It said it isn't clear how many apps have been affected by the bans, but any given month, Apple takes down around 5,000 apps for a variety of reasons, according to app search firm Zilogic. The developers' concerns came at a time when overall App Store downloads were notably decreasing. Matthias Krachowski, the chief executive of Zilogic, said the volume of downloads on the U.S. App Store has fallen 25% since January, and that would be, in our estimation here, is because a lot of those games suck. The decrease, he says, can be in part attributed to Apple's crackdown on bots and its decision to combat incentivized installs, which I'll tell you about here in a moment. Fixu, who's another app marketing firm, said they reported a similar drop in downloads on the Apple App Store. VentureBeat is also reporting that an executive at a seasoned game development company who also wanted to remain anonymous, bunch of wimps, said we had an app rejected and we didn't know why. It would be much better if we had clear communication from Apple about what the guidelines really are. It seems like everyone is worried about this, but the information isn't evenly circulated. People think that Apple plays favorites. The executive said most developers know about the manipulation tactics but will only talk about them in private. He said there's a growing fear in the developer community that as more and more app companies use underhanded marketing techniques, the greater ecosystem will be forced to do so as well to keep up with its rivals. The words of the gaming company executive were echoed during a frank closed-door discussion on app marketing at a recent mobile conference, which again is nameless. Gosh, people are wimps. Chief executives of affected companies, developers, ad networks, app marketers, and mobile infrastructure companies all said they were worried about Apple's handling of the marketing crackdown, but nobody wanted to stand up and tell Apple what was wrong. Why not? Your app's not even on the store. We might as well speak out. Since the download numbers have dropped since January, app developers and publishers have had to get more aggressive about marketing. The chief executive of Free App Day, which used Apple methods to help market apps. In the past, you might have only needed only three or four marketing services to spread an app. He says now you might need to use 40 of them. Apple hasn't said a lot about the crackdown beyond this February 6th statement, which said, once you build a great app, you want everyone to know about it. However, when you promote your app, you should avoid using services that advertise or guarantee top placement in the App Store charts. Even if you're not personally engaged in manipulating App Store chart rankings or user reviews, employing services that do so on your behalf may result in the loss of your Apple Developer Program membership. I wonder if I've lost mine. I want to check. If anybody used my name. In February, after the Apple crackdown, some third-party marketing services such as App Magenta went into hiding. Really?
Hiding.
You know, this is a very long story and probably worthy of discussion Thursday night, which if we remember, because sometimes we get carried away on other stuff. I think all this is idiotic. First of all, Apple, you're not even using the ESRB, which is a great resource. If you were forcing these developers to go through there, you wouldn't even have to worry about this in the first place. You get together with Peggy and the USRB, and you say, tell the developers, submit it there, and once they've looked it over and made sure it's not a fake and that it is within, you know, whatever rating systems you're claiming, that we will allow it on the App Store. End of story. That's it. In a discussion.
Unfortunately, it doesn't usually go that way. So.
And it's not that hard. And there needs to be something else instituted on the Apple App Store. Instead of just letting people review the games because everybody's tastes are different. I'm not saying they shouldn't. I like that they have the user reviews, but you should also pull a Funcom. There should be a press-related area. These are from the actual media, and these are from people. And then you'll be able to pick out if they're using bots or people to come in and review games. Because you don't know how many times I've downloaded an app, and they're like, this is the best game ever. And I get it, and I was like, there's a ball bouncing on my screen. Fun about this.
I know. How many games have we been given? Oh, this is so fun. No, it's not fun.
No, what you did
not fun. This is not cute.
Practice. You paid somebody to write this, is what you did.
Exactly. All right. As the secret world turns,
woohoo!
Funcom CEO steps down.
No. Who? Oh, Erling, was it? It wasn't Erling?
On the eve of Funcom's latest MMO, The Secret World, being officially launched, the company's chief executive officer has decided to step down from the role. While Trond Arne Aas has resigned from the post, he's not leaving Funcom anytime soon either.
I thought it was Erling. I couldn't do it.
Aas said that he left the position of CEO to take on two new roles within the company as its strategic advisor to the board and chief strategy officer. Chief Operating Officer Ole Schreiner has been appointed the new CEO of the company. The Secret World goes live in America and Europe this week. Electronic Arts is co-publishing the online role-playing game in the U.S. Yes, all right, so if you want to read more news about this, head over to Funcom.com this morning. Wow.
Ooh.
I know, I was hoping for more juicy news. When I saw the title, I was like, ooh, what's going on? But at the same time, I like the game. I had a lot of fun. I was up till like 2 a.m. playing it. So I was going to be very, very, very irritated if it meant that this was going to, like, just go down the tube that quickly.
Well, I don't think so because a lot of us have been waiting on it.
And yeah, all the hype was totally worth it. The game really is awesome. I'm still trying to figure out how the skill sets work because there's not, like, a set tree or anything.
This was one of the ones that said that you wouldn't have one, this one and Salem.
Yeah, there's a skill wheel, and you can choose skills from different parts of the wheel.
Makes it hard for you to combat somebody when you don't know how the hell they work.
Exactly. Yeah, I will totally admit that I went with blood magic right off the bat just because, I mean, seriously, that sounds like fun. Yeah.
Blood magic?
I mean, I could have gone with, like, a weapon and, like, trained in guns. But
you and I are too much alike. Do you get to set people on fire? Is it blue fire?
I have seen blue fire. I've not been able to use blue fire yet, but then again, I'm still a baby. I'm not even quite sure what level I am.
Can you burn faces off, Ginger?
I don't know, but there were zombies.
What?
There were zombies right off the bat.
Ooh.
Yes, and some of them zombies, they flippin' hurt. Holy crap, yo, get up off me.
Oh, God, I've been a bad influence on my Ginger. That was a Corey-ism you just did.
Get up off me? Yeah.
Get up off of me.
Seriously, this thing was huge. It was like humping my leg or something.
Oh, God. No, no, no.
Yes, yes, yes. You can't tell me no. What people tell me no recently?
I'm going to move along. Guess who's the new It couple in tech? Yes, guess.
Who's the new It couple?
GM and Facebook. They had broken up a while ago. And, of course, GM pulled their ads from Facebook in May of this year, just as they were in the middle of a crucial run of stages to Facebook's IPO, right before all that went down. The financial impact was minimal, not enough to impact the public offering financials, of course, but the real impact was in its reputation and perception stemming from the automotive giant's key contention, Facebook ads don't work. I don't know about that. I can't say for sure or not. Now the two sides, of course, are working on an advertising deal that does work. Facebook is submitting the advertising slightly. In June, Comscore and Facebook released a major study saying Facebook ads do actually work, and they showed how. And new ad units on mobile. Facebook's seeming Achilles heel for the past 6 months are actually converting well, according to recent reports. So the time is ripe for them to get back together and make kissy faces at each other, according to a report.
You're going to make kissy faces.
According to the report, Facebook Chief Operating Officer Sheryl Sandberg and GM Chief Executive Daniel Akerson recently got together and talked, and GM's Global Marketing Head Joel Ewanek met Facebook's Head of Global Sales, Carolyn Everson. There's no timeline. Hint, yes, pun intended, and no commitment, but at least the two are communicating with each other. They're staring at each other from across the table. According to VentureBeat, if Facebook can convince GM that its ad units do actually work, the $10 million or so in GM advertising gains, the big win, a reconverted Fortune 500 client, would be a strong signal to the rest of the world that Facebook is a viable and worthwhile advertising vehicle. That's the image Facebook absolutely needs to project in order to show significant revenue growth after that IP debacle.
IP debacle, yeah, that's one way of putting it.
IPocalypse? We put apocalypse on the end.
IPocalypse on the end of like everything.
Jellyocalypse? There you go.
All right. So more news this morning. More news. Let me see what else I can find you.
No.
Where did that story go? I just had it. All right. Have you heard about Smite?
I would like to smite a few people. MMO?
No, it's an RPG action strategy title. All right, so anyways, Smite avoids world's most popular religions. All right. Some comments on Friday from Todd Harris, operating author, concerning the exclusion of some deities and the inclusions of others may tick off some religious groups even more than they already were about Smite, the company's upcoming Dota-like online RPG action strategy title. While Harris mostly brushed aside the complaints of Rajan Zed, the president of the U.S.-based Universal Society of Hinduism, about the game's depiction of the Hindu religion and several of its deities, Kali, Vimana, and Agni? Anyways, in a conversation with GameSpot, he also said that the studio would avoid Abrahamic, which is Jewish, Christian, and Islamic religions, and prominent figures from the Torah, Quran, and Bible. All right.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, great. PC has come to our PC games. Anyways, from the perspective of a video game, the key Abrahamic figures, Adam, Noah, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, are not that interesting in character design or gameplay. Really? Really? Spreading waters, walking on waters, being born from a virgin, being able to, you know, come back from the dead, none of that. All right, anyways. They are all human. They never overlapped or interacted with one another. They certainly never fought each other in dramatic passion and unique abilities. They are all peaceful. What Bible are you reading? Anyways, at best, they would be support characters. Of course, the Bible mentions plenty of battles, including fights against Leviathan, God's continued struggle against Baal and other idols, and fights against the likes of Satan and various princes of hell. Some might even argue that Hi-Rez didn't expect any complaints about the deities they chose from the game. They were wrong, and by avoiding the world's most popular religions, the company avoids any sort of global public outcry. Of course, it could be just that, as Harris says, those religions do not provide enough excitement in the context of the upcoming game. I'm calling BS. Y'all are some lying little people.
Mm-hmm. Sacrificing the virgins.
I know. None of these people are all that interesting. Really? Mm-hmm. Noah created an ark and collected 2x2 of everything. Come on.
To quote one of my favorite TV characters, you can bet if they started sacrificing the virgin men folk, the world would be atheist like that.
I know, right?
Wow. I'm sorry, it's the green tea. Okay.
If you're going to pull out one religion, why not pull out them all? I mean, it's not like you're saying anything bad about them. Come on.
I think it's all in good fun. I would like to see them all clash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ironically, Supernatural has a storyline.
How do we know these people existed in the first place? Come on.
She's right. But I like Supernatural storyline where all of them existed and they were all sisters and brothers and cousins and related. And they were all fighting.
Yeah.
And they all got a territory when they took over Earth is why all the world had different religions. I like that idea.
There's nothing wrong with it. And that would be an epic game right there.
Yes. And you get to pick
they
which one you get to play.
At the same time. So, it's a game.
Oh, people, let go. Let go. All right. Our favorite game, Funcom, of course, is getting glowing reviews, including one from us here. Normally, we wouldn't tell you this because it's not from us. But, but since Erling was so nice yesterday and finally sent us over Key, we will tell you they have gotten a rave review. So Ginger's not the only one that's loving it. Go over
that
and check it out.
Hacked too. I mean, for being early release, everything, just there were people everywhere.
Well, most of the early releases, the players, of course, that are pre-ordered because you get in early. We do need to let you know, you need to have a PC that can bring it. You will have to have DirectX 11. It's gotten 9 out of 10 from everybody. We don't do those type of reviews here. We tell you it's good or it's bad because 9 don't tell me much. You could just know how to only count to 9 for all we know. But anyway.
it ran beautifully on mine, and mine hasn't been updated in, I don't know, year and a half, just about?
Yeah, I saw your pictures. Beautiful. You know what I was looking at? I didn't even look at you. You know me. Where do my eyes go to the first thing when I look on your page?
The textures of the building. Yes. Ground, floor, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I know, of course. She's not going to look me. That's the only other thing I can really complain about. For the most part, the camera is very loose, and you can move it around, so you're driving kind of like a regular FPS in this game. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I want my camera a little more loose. I want to be able to disconnect and actually be able to take pictures of things. You know, not centered strangely around my avatar.
Aww.
I know. It's so sad.
Well, you know what? You're thinking like Second Life is why.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because it kind of reminds me of how Second Life drives. So,
but you have to keep in mind, you cannot, it's not Second Life. So they don't want you taking pictures of things. You'll find a way to get around it like you do in every one of them. I think all of the MMOs are like that. They center it around your character because it's not like Second Life. You're not supposed to be able to move. They don't want you moving.
But I want to. I want to move. I want to
look, woman. I'm trying to...
Don't you look, woman, me. I love you. I love you.
I want my own beeswax.
Don't cut me. All right. Oh, so it's my turn again, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's how I'm like, mm-hmm.
All right. UK lawmakers to repeal site banning provisions from the Digital Economy Act.
Ooh.
Lawmakers in the United Kingdom seem to be having a change of heart about two key parts of an anti-piracy law. Lawmakers said at the end of last week that they plan to abandon legislative plans to block websites allegedly involved in distributing or sharing copyrighted materials. Last week, the UK's Department for Culture, Media and Sport, DCMS, said that the government will attempt to repeal two crucial parts, Section 17 and 18, of the Digital Economy Act that would have allowed it to enforce website blocking at the ISP level. Section 17 allowed the government to seek a court order against any location on the Internet that was alleged to be actively infringing copyright. Section 18 laid out the approval process the government would use to secure the block. But lawmakers see this as overkill because rights holders can already go to court to accomplish site blocking. The decision to repeal Section 17 and 18 has a lot to do with 2011 report from Ofcom, which came to the conclusion that the extra measures wouldn't work effectively. True story. We do not think that Section 17 and 18 of the Act would meet the requirements of the copyright owners, the report said. It added that the Copyright Designs and Patents Act 1988 already created a faster way for rights holders to use the courts to get sites blocked. Ultimately, UK lawmakers decided to let legal precedent of the law of the land. That precedent was set a year ago when the Motion Picture Association of America, imagine that, representing six U.S. film studios, forced broadband service provider BT to block access to file-sharing site Newsbin 2. This led to more than 92% of the UK's broadband users being unable to connect to Magnet Link's sharing sites. Seriously, people?
Sucks.
And MPAA, do we have any business? Any business? Influencing any other country. Well, seriously? later tonight, I'm going to go off on this.
No, later Thursday night. You have to go.
Thursday.
Night is all about the clothes, baby. It's the clothes. It's Tuesday. You 2 days.
Thursday night, people.
It's okay. It's Wednesday in my head.
Hi, I'm off today.
I don't know why I'm off either. Anyway, but we're off every day. Okay, so there's some mudslinging going on, as usual.
Ooh, who's mudslinging?
You already know one of the people involved because they're involved in every mudslinging. You guys are going to fall flat on your face, and it's going to hurt EA.
imagine that. Yeah. That's nothing new.
NPD Group, who we've visited quite often or has given us some interesting data and things, has been working on growing its digital sales tracking and issues quarterly. Issues a quarterly total customer spend reports that include digital But for most of the industry, the terminal represents retail point-of-sale tracking above all else. And to Electronic Arts, this data just doesn't matter all that much anymore. You remember yesterday we told you they're like, we're going to be digital. We don't want to deal with that stuff anymore. Okay, so the NPD group didn't like hearing from EA today that its retail data is totally irrelevant, air quotes. David McQuillan, president of NPD Games, explained to GI.biz why retail sales information, and specifically NPD's reporting on it, matters very much to the AAA game publishers today. He said, while digital is a growing part of the industry and something that needs to be addressed for the future, the current games industry is still largely rooted in retail. Still largely rooted in retail, and any industry player involved with AAA content can't take their eye away from the retail environment just because they want to. Successful companies are looking at how their products are performing within all channels, particularly retail. For that reason, we are surprised to read the comments by Mr. Gibeau that EA does not look at NPD data internally at all. Well, yeah, that's obvious. Have you seen Origins, EPD? NPD, have you seen Origin? It's obvious they don't look at digital data. So while we will not comment on specifics of our long-term standing relationship with EA, we can say with confidence that we have daily dealings with all of our major publisher clients, and we know for a fact they're using the data. McQuillan also stressed that gamers' buying habits still very much include retail products, particularly during holiday periods when the industry generally does a sizable chunk of its annual business. According to their latest estimates, new physical software represented 56% of consumer spending on games content in the U.S. in 2011 and 70% in quarter four specifically. If a publisher that produced AAA content were in a position where they could not access NPD data to analyze, review, and benchmark against the competition and the rest of the market, you think they would be challenged to effectively manage an important part of their current business and in their relationships with the retail company, he said. And that's another basic reason why this is a stupid idea for EA not to do. EA, in the Midwest, not everybody has high-speed internet. They can't even get it. So they're going to go out to buy it.
No, everybody does. You're just telling stories.
Apparently, I'd be lying.
You are totally lying. Everybody does.
Everybody has high-speed internet or Fios connections. So I'm just flabbergasted that they would say that. Well, I shouldn't be, considering how Origins look. But these people that live in the Midwest are not downloading their games because it would take them 5 years to download a game over DSL. How do I know this? Because I tried to download Anarchy Online years ago via DSL, and they had to break it up into parts. Do you hear what I'm telling you? You had 12 parts you had to break it up in, and it took me around 6 hours over DSL to download the client for Anarchy Online, broken up into parts, because there was no such thing as, you know, broadband or cable connection then.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine there's people in the Midwest that all they can get is dial-up or DSL. They are not going to be downloading your game over these connections. And some of them are stuck under data caps as well. EA, really? We're talking about a whole Midwest. I'm not talking about one or two states or a little small town here. We're talking about the Midwest, that whole band of people there that have no cable because their wires do not run out there yet. You forgot a whole sect of your customers, and those are the people, your guys that are hardcore gamers, because they have nothing freaking else to do but play Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm moving to – all right, I already live in BFE. I'm moving to even further out in BFE. I'm going to be so sad.
Forrest just tweeted dial-up. Exactly. So you cannot just alienate
– no.
Yes. Yes. There's still dial-up in existence. Some people, they have no choice but to get dial-up. Really, they can't even do the satellite thing. They can't say, you know what?
I would cry.
Girl, we go visit my relatives. It's like, look, what time is it? I got to be out of here by dark. I got to get back to the city. There's no internet out here. I got to go.
Mm-mm. No, I need my internet. I would die. All right. Buddy's franchise expands with zombies, carts, guns, and more.
Rare.
Uh-huh. Hot of the initial success of Bomb. All right. Who wrote this?
I knew they got you. They got you, Ginger. They got you. I'm sorry, girl.
Is this from French? Come on, where's this?
From them French people?
I don't know where it's from. All right. So, Buddy's Hot of the initial success of Bomb Buddies, Balanced Worlds is focused on adding both breadth and depth to the Buddies franchise. Since launch a few weeks ago, Balanced Worlds has been rapidly on. I don't even get this. If you can't write these, I'm not going to read them. I give up. That was bad. I tried. I really did. Because Bomb Buddy sounded like fun in the first sentence or two that I read, and then it just like fell apart.
Right.
So good try, whoever did that. Not very good.
Good job.
All right. So everybody wants to rule the world. End of Nations. First closed beta event coming July 20th. See how this goes. I can actually read it. Okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Trion World today announced that the first of three highly anticipated closed beta events for the award-winning free-to-play online military strategy game End of Nations is scheduled to start at 12:01 a.m. EST Friday, July 20th, and continue through Sunday, July 22nd at 11:59 p.m. EST. Participants in the first closed beta event will join the persistent global conflict as they connect with allies from around the world to bring down the oppressive Order of Nations or take on the opposing faction at PvP. The first closed beta event promises both large and small player maps across a variety of different terrains, as well as a multitude of upgrade options and a wide range of units and battle tactics to employ. Gamers interested in taking part in the beta can sign up via the official website for the chance to get an invite to one of the three beta events, which is endofnations.com/en/beta. Random keys are also being handed out via the official End of Nations Facebook and Twitter sites. And for those hardcore gamers who want guaranteed invites to every closed beta event as well as early access privileges, the End of Nations Founders Edition is also now available for pre-order for $29.99 USD at endofnations.com. All right, so what do we get? If you're in the Founders Edition, you get a couple of awesome things. 2 months of VIP membership, including 1,000 in-game credits, 60 game, 50% XP boost, 30% store discount, 10 win loot boost, exclusive Founders motherboard unit skin set, exclusive Trion Magma skin set, exclusive Founder Forum title, veteran status level 5 star boost on a new commander character, and additional commander slots. All content will be activated at the start of early access. The exclusive Founder Forum title will be activated as soon as they sign into their Trion Worlds account. All right, so again, this is endofnations.com, so check it out.
Very nice.
Yes.
Very nice. I just got pulled into some game called Fashion Star on Facebook. Why? I wasn't trying to go. It just pulled me over there. I was trying to move to something else. It's not a cute game. Trust me. If it was good, I'd be telling you. I'm going to be playing it. Anyway.
I do know how you love yourself some fashion games.
I do. And it is Tuesday. Pixie. All right, the pain cometh for the rest of you. Rockstar Games is announcing the release of a local justice pack. The first downloadable content pack for Max Payne 3 is now available on your Xbox Live Entertainment System or PlayStation Network. For the rest of you, remember we told you last week you got to wait till July 17th. No Max Payne for you until the 17th. The Local Justice Pack is just the beginning of a deeper multiplayer experience for Max Payne 3, said Sam Houser, who's the founder of Rockstar Games. We're excited, he said, to deliver a new take on the game's epic final battle locations tailored specifically for the online arena. This pack includes three new maps for Max Payne 3 multiplayer based on the areas from the game's intense final chapters, which took place in the Imperial Palace, Departure Lounge, and the 50th Battalion Court. New M4 assault rifle and attachments, the Light Fingers item for faster looting, a new Sao Paulo police multiplayer faction, and associated new achievements, trophies as well, or social club achievements. The Local Justice Pack will be available for 1 week only at a discounted price of 480 Microsoft points if you get it on Xbox Live, or a mere $5.99, or as Baby Nature will say, why don't they just say $6 on PlayStation
I love her. She's so cute.
That bothers her. As soon as I read that, I heard her in my head. Why don't they just say it's $6? Why did it say $5.99? Why?
I never understood that either. I don't know.
It's a mental tactic. You think, oh, I'm not spending as much. It's only $5.99. Yeah. The pack, of course, will return to its normal price of 640 Microsoft points on Xbox Live or $7.99. Or $8 on PlayStation Network. Players who purchase a Max Payne 3 Rockstar Pass will receive the pack of charge really, you can pay $29.99 for it. The Rockstar Pass is currently available at 2,400 Microsoft points on Xbox Live or $29.99 on the PlayStation Network, or $30 additionally on Max Payne 3 pre-order.
Oh my God, Dora, you're such a nut.
The pre-order and retail DLC is now available for purchase, including the Cemetery Map. It's a multiplayer map with a wintry New York City skyline, sniping positions amongst monuments, destructible tombstones, and a looming mausoleum. Does it have zombies in it? This is my question.
That is definitely something we need to know. Does it have zombies in it?
You also got your killer loadout pack, which comes with a light anti-tank weapon, the slippery character burst to quickly escape a firefight, and the lightning device item that amplifies player hearing. That's $1.99 on the PlayStation Network, $1.99 for the previous one as well, or 160 Microsoft points.
Mm-hmm.
They also have the pill bottle item, which allows players to get more characters in multiplayer mode. That's going to cost you about 80 Microsoft points, or 99 cents. I like that. Deadly Force Burst grants extra stopping power with higher damage bullets in multiplayer. Again, 99 cents or 80 Microsoft points. You also have your classic Max Payne character. Multiplayer avatar inspired by the original Max Payne will also cost you 99 cents. Again, all pre-orders and retail DLC for you PC people will be available on the 17th. You will be okay. Just go over to your friend's house. It has an Xbox. Woo, woo, woo.
I know, I was like, why is my hand hurt this morning? Sorry, Xbox reminded me. I played Halo Reach for a good long while last night while I was waiting for Secret Worlds updates.
I am glad that you explained that when you said your hand's hurting. And now, I have a shorty, some of you T-Mobile people.
Okay.
Yeah, got a shorty. You T-Mobile people, I am so sorry for what happened to you last night. Oh my God. T-Mobile apparently is confirming that they experienced a nationwide outage. They said service has since been restored. There's been some reports from T-Mobile customers experiencing data issues last night, though not all T-Mobile customers were affected. T-Mobile's Twitter support account confirmed that something was up and that the carrier was feverishly working to restore services. You poor babies. For now, all T-Mobile customers can do if your service is not working is pray that the carrier fixes things soon, or you could join the complaint party over at T-Mobile support forums.
There's a complaint party. That's kind of hot.
Of course, it has been a while, according to VentureBeat, that there's been an outage on T-Mobile's network. Verizon's LTE network, on the other hand, has had sporadic issues over the last year. That's the price you pay for being first to the LTE. Get both.
Awesome. All right. So I guess I need to stop saving these screenshots and find some more news real quick. All right. So. Is a new update out, and if my thing will open, that would be great.
Why are they sending me Gamer Prawn? Quit sending me Gamer Prawn!
Ooh, rawr, I want to see the Gamer Prawn. House of Broken Chains, Dungeon, and the Underdark screenshots, which I'm going to have up, which is what I was just saving, by the way, GameAndAtrix.com. Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment reveals 8 new screenshots from the House of Broken Chains dungeon, as featured in the new Menace of the Underdark expansion pack, which launched on June 25th. The dungeon features slave pits against slave masters in battle and presents one of the new dynamics in Menace of the Underdark. Menace of the Underdark is the first expansion to Dungeons & Dragons Online. The award-winning free-to-play MMORPG developed by Turbine launched on June 25, 2012, expanding for the first time into the beloved Forgotten Realms setting and the vast subterranean world of the Underdark, an increased level map, new map, and 3 Forgotten Realms adventure packs that feature a multitude of epic adventures, unprecedented new wilderness areas with challenging objectives, a host of dungeons, and more. Alright, so if you didn't know, the Dungeons & Dragons Online is a free-to-play MMORPG featuring the industry's best combat system, a massive world with state-of-the-art graphics and gameplay, and a rich set of features that are usually found in the premium subscription-based MMOs. DDO offers an innovative pricing model that allows players to download and play for free, purchasing adventure pack, items, and account service a la carte from the new DDO store, or to subscribe to get unlimited access to all the game's content. Awesome. I've played this. It's not bad. If you like Dungeons & Dragons and you want to play an online version, head over there and check it out.
I will not, and you cannot make me either.
Okay. Well, then don't do it.
Why never? All right. Here's an interesting topic. often argue about here at Gaminatrix every Thursday night. We'll probably argue about it again because I'm going to bring it up just so I can irk Blaster. Just because I can. Phew. Ah, but I love that they passed this ruling. The Court Justice of the European Union. It's not here, by the way.
Hi.
Never here. Can you hear me? Hello. Did we lose you? Did we lose me again, or are we losing you, Ginger?
We may be losing me.
There you are.
Has me.
You can hear me. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. But for a minute, everything was spinning. That was nice.
Oh, that was fun. All right. So the Court Justice of the European Union has made a crucial judgment, which we're hoping will filter its way across the pond over here, determining that publishers cannot oppose the resale of their previously bought and played downloadable games. The ruling even goes as far as to say the judgment stands even if the original buyer has signed an end-user license agreement and will have major implications for distribution services like Valve's Steam and EA's Origin. That's right. We can only tell us that his games are worth nothing because he might be able to sell them, at least if he was in the UK. The judgment explained in more detail came about after a legal battle in the German courts between software reseller UsedSoft and developer Oracle came about. The principle of exhaustion of the distribution right applies not only where the copyright holder markets copies of his software on a material medium, CD-ROM or DVD, but also where he distributes them by means of downloads from his or her website, said the official document. Where the copyright holder makes available to his consumer, a customer, a copy, tangible or intangible, at the same time concludes in return for payment of a fee, a license agreement granting the customer the right to use that copy for an unlimited period, that right holder sells a copy to the customer, thus exhausts his exclusive distribution right. Such a transaction involves a transfer of the right of ownership of copy. All that is legal jargon for, if I sell Ginger my copy of The Sims, I no longer am held to that end-user agreement, and now Ginger is. It's her. End of discussion.
Yes, exactly. You think, but this is not how these people tend to think at all.
Also, I'm going to need you all to start putting her in the documents because I'm going to be the first person to sue and say, you can't do anything to me anyway because it says him and I am clearly a her.
Oh, wow. And I can totally see you doing that, too. You'd be like, no, you see this? This is not a penis.
Oh, my God. I would not. It's like, who is flashing people up in the courts, Ginger?
I've never flashed anybody in the courts.
You know what? First thing I'm going to do Friday when I see you is give you a big hug, and then I'm going to pull your hair.
No!
Just for that comment. Of course, don't pull mine, girl, because, you know, I might have a piece in there. Don't pull it. Don't pull mine.
Okay. I won't pull yours.
I'll show you where the real hair is. You can pull that one.
Wow.
Ooh.
All right.
Dolores is telling us about a really good game. Yeah.
So you're going to... What game is it?
What did you call it, Horace? Blade? Cutting? All I saw was blades and stuff. I'm sorry. I forgot. I lost the name. I don't like this new Twitter. What is this business you all have given us?
Blades of Time. Okay, there we go.
This is a mess on Twitter. Have you seen this?
It is. All right, here we go. Twitter discloses U.S. government information request for the first half of 2012. Normally, we would ignore what's going on at Twitter, not because we don't care, but because the daily machinations of the service have no bearing within these pages.
Mm-hmm.
But a change in policy is of particular interest, mainly in how it might relate to current and future cybersecurity bills like CISPA, Protect IT, and the Cybersecurity Act of 2012. Like Google, Twitter has decided to disclose how often the U.S. government asks for information on a user or issues DMCA takedown. They call a new transparency tool. I like this. For the first time since it launched Twitter, Twitter is showing the general public how many governments around the world have asked for user information or for content to be taken down, along with how many DMCA takedown requests are made. At the top of that list are requests from the United States government. The United States government made the most requests, 679 out of 849 total requests made in 2012. Of those requests, Twitter complied with around 75% of them, in partial or in full, but it did not comply with any of the government's requests to remove content. The transparency tool shows data from January 1st, 2012 and June 30th, 2012. Speaking to Ars Technica about the story, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the EFF, Eva Galperin, International Freedom of Expression Coordinator, companies do not voluntarily give up information because they are not required to by law. She also said that the U.S. government has a pretty good handle on the fact of who has certain kinds of information, and they understand that they can ask for it. She added that other governments will probably join in on the practice in the next couple of years. On its blog, Twitter said that these requests in the first half of 2012 show a troubling trend. We received more government requests in the first half of 2012, as outlined in this initial data set, than in the entirety of 2011. But the real question that internet users have to ask themselves is, what would Twitter, Google, Facebook, and Yahoo do if they didn't have to worry about users suing them for violating their privacy rights when they freely shared information with the U.S. government? That's why so many are concerned about new cybersecurity laws being pushed fast-tracked through Congress. I'm glad Twitter is letting us know what's going on. So maybe people can see how this is not cool. Not cool, people. Not cool.
Well, on one hand, it's a lot of our own fault because some of you share way too much on the Twitter and the Facebook.
A little bit. Some of y'all need to shut your mouth.
I don't know what your fascination is with sharing every detail of your life, but please, shut up. I don't really need to know that you just had cake and that it was nasty.
Don't need to know about your bowel movements either, thanks.
Yes. Now, unless the cake was someplace that you bought and it has worms in it and we need to know not to eat there, by all means, please share.
Mm-mm. That's gross, Corey. It's lunchtime and you mentioned worms and food.
Look, I'm trying to help the people out. You need you need to know proper posting etiquette. the phone never drops this train. Okay. Wait a minute. I can't tell you about that. That's not right. Okay, I can tell you about this. New fantasy MMO.
He always teases us.
I get stuff and I'm about to tell you about it, and I cannot. Horace is saying he had some nasty cake. I made. You have never eaten my cooking. Thank you. You got me confused with somebody else. Mount your warhorse.
Yeah, Horace. You may end up with some nasty cake after that one.
Mm-hmm. You better not ever eat anything I make from here on out. I promise you'll have sawdust in it. Okay. Mount your war horses. Ginger, stop thinking like that. Joy Max, leading
online.
You don't
understand what I was shown the other day. If you'd seen what I was shown, you would understand what's going through my head and why I'm just facepalming.
Joy Max is the leading online game developer and publisher, widely known for Silk Road Online and Digimon Masters, announced their newest and most ambitious MMORPG title yet, Night Age. Yay, more nights. Night Age is considered Joy Max's online game sensation following the success of Silk Road Online. Night Age, launching globally, will open its very first English closed beta testing to all players between July 10th and the 17th. Sorry, no 4th of July playing for you. You can register over at the Joy Max portal at joymax.com/nightage/ for your chance to play first. Night Age is a 3D fantasy MMORPG which will take you through a vast world of knights battling against a malicious god. Featuring a unique riding action where, unlike other MMORPG knights, can perform elaborate attack skills. While, yes, on your horse, Night Age. Night Age provides a one-of-a-kind combat system that is carried out on mounts, with each ride providing different types of power-ups. Another impressive feature of Night Age is the pet system, known as Poopa.
I'm sorry, known as what?
You heard me, Poopa, or it might be Pupa. Either way, it doesn't sound good. Players are able to journey with a variety of pets that fight alongside you with over 20 Pupas or Poopas to collect. Players can raise them and also combine their features to create a whole new and more powerful pet. It's up to players to create the ultimate Pupa or Poopa. The game is set to feature a colossal PvP system where PvP battles can range from up to, get this, Ginger, 50 versus 50 and even 1 versus 100 for the ultimate battle for Excalibur. I like that.
That is cool, yeah.
Night Age will feature guild siege battles where players will fight against other guilds to siege or defend. Kind of sounds like Dark Age of Camelot from back in the day.
It does.
You can defend the castle.
I'm not sure about this Poopa.
Well, you can defend the castle. Or you can become, and you can even become the castle ruler. Ruling the castle, of course, comes with great benefits, such as an exclusive chance to acquire high-end rare items and automatically earn in-game money. Ooh. Following the wildly successful of Digimon Masters, now is the perfect time for Joymax to focus on bringing yet another crown jewel to our growing library of quality titles. This is from Namchul Kim. Namchul? Did I say your name right? Namchul Kim, who is the CEO of Joymax. Is we're excited to garner feedback from this upcoming closed beta testing period. Night Age's Compact and Action closed beta test will begin on the 10th of July and last for a week until July 17th. The closed beta test will be open to all users via the Joymax portal. Players looking for all the latest news, including contests and screenshots, can visit their Facebook page, Official Night Age, or Twitter them at Official Night Age.
Twitter them.
Twitter. Touch the Twitter.
No. I do not want to touch their Twitter. Thank you.
Touch their Twitter.
No.
Touch their Twitter. You know, I'm looking at the screenshots, and I'm going to say probably some of you graphics, W-H-O-R-E people, probably will not like this, but it will be adorable for the little people. It is absolutely adorable.
Did you totally just spell that out?
It It because the Matrix was peeking in the door, so I couldn't see it.
Oh. The Matrix.
And she has this thing about bad words. She wants to throw things at people. She tried to... She gave this woman the ugliest look this morning. The lady said, you know, the words she didn't like, and she was like, we're going to have to leave. You're about to be attacked. This child does not like that type of language. She commands her respect.
Yes, she does. All right, so we got a couple of minutes left. People, it's summertime. We need to all be in shape, getting healthy, all this fun stuff. Dancetopia wants to help that. Celebrate health, fitness, and dancing with GamerFit Nation's first annual free community event, Dancetopia 12, in Harlem, New York City.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you some background music for that. Tell them about it.
All right, are you interested in spending the summertime with your family in a way that's both fun and good for your health? Well, GamerFit Nation has a perfect solution to your concerns. GamerFit Nation, a gaming and healthy lifestyle media outlet, is proud to announce their first community event, Dancetopia 2012. Dancetopia will be an annual free event to help promote health and fitness awareness through video gaming with a series of the most popular dance and fitness video games to get the people moving towards a healthy lifestyle. The mission of GamerFit Nation is to provide gaming and health information to both video game enthusiasts and non-enthusiasts alike. It is also our mission to provide well-written articles involving the gaming and health industry. By utilizing our network of colleagues and professional contributors within both industries, GamerFit Nation is able to offer invaluable amount of insight as well as original content seen nowhere else. Our overall mission is to promote health and wellness through the power of gaming to those who need it. All right, so I'm looking for this. It's going to be July 21st from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. It's going to be 21st Century Academy for Community Leadership at 503 West 152nd Street, New York, New York. It's open to all ages, family, and friends of New York City, and will take place, like I said, already The event will feature Microsoft Xbox 360 Kinect stations on multiple Vizio TV displays to play the latest dance hit games such as Dance Central 2, Just Dance Series, and Zumba Fit. There will also be free giveaways for attendees to enjoy. All right, so if you're in the area, please drop by and go do this. And if you do this, please take some pictures and some video and send them to us. Do it. That'd be awesome.
Wow. That's going to be awesome.
It is.
All right. Well, it is about time for us to go. We got about 2 minutes left, and the English lady is going to yell at us in a moment. So make sure you are listening and watching tonight. You all forget you can see some of the stuff we're talking about. You missed our men's fashion one last week, but Pixie is talking about. I forgot what we're talking about, but we always make it good and hot. And of course, Miss Snow White will be back from her vacate joining us. Yay! Make sure you're listening. What are we doing? 9:30.
Yeah, 9:30, I think.
I'm crazy. Anyway, make sure you're listening tonight. We will see you. Make sure you're here and Google Plus and everywhere else. Yeah, we might do some of this right here. I love my top model opening. We will see you guys later. You know where to find us. Mm-hmm.
Later, boys and girls.